You're listening to The Coffee Hour. I'm Andy Bates.
And I'm Roy Askins, executive editor of The Lutheran Witness.
Today's episode of The Coffee Hour is underwritten in part by Concordia University, Wisconsin. You can learn more about Concordia University, Wisconsin by visiting cuw.edu. Live uncommon. We are recording at the LCMS convention in Phoenix, Arizona. All meetings require a form of order, and a meeting of this size requires serious structure and order. And the Convention of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod employs the services of a professional parliamentarian. Today, we get to meet that individual. Our guest, Al Gage, he's current parliamentarian for the National Association of Parliamentarians, past president of the American Institute of Parliamentarians, and serving us at the LCMS convention. Mr. Gage, welcome.
Thank you. Glad to be here.
Give us your story, your background. How did you develop an interest in becoming a parliamentarian, and what was that path to becoming a parliamentarian?
So I participated in parliamentary procedure contests in high school through the FFA, Future Farmers of America program, and went away from it for about 40 years. And my daughter, when she came up through FFA, we participated in a contest called Ag Marketing, and I found out it was completely subjective. So I said, we have to find something else that I can help you with. And so she says, well, how about this thing called parliamentary procedure? And I said, well, I know a bit about that. And so I began coaching those teams. And I coached her team. They never actually did win state, but five members off of her team came back the next year in 2008, and we went and won state, and they won the national championship. As a result of that, I got to go back in 2009 to judge the national finals and met my very first professional parliamentarian. And they all looked at me and said, you have as much knowledge as we do. Why aren't you doing this for a living? And that was my path. That was the beginning of my path. I became credentialed first in 2010 and have worked at it professionally since around 2012, 2013.
Help us understand, Al, what is a parliamentarian and what is their role at any type of meeting?
So, quite contrary to what you hear about the parliamentarian in the House, U.S. House and U.S. Senate, they have actual authority there to actually make a ruling and generate a ruling. Mm-hmm. My capacity as a professional parliamentarian is purely advisory to the president. Mm-hmm. And as you saw the other day, I think it was Sunday. They're kind of running together now, if you mm-hmm. mind. he said, well, I'm going to ignore the advice of the parliamentarian. And he's perfectly okay to do that. And that was a very, very minor, you know, mm-hmm. disregard of my advice. But we're purely advisory on the rules. We have an absolute obligation to be neutral. Mm-hmm. It's an ethical part of our code of professional responsibility to be neutral. So I can't come into a meeting with a desired outcome. I'm not allowed to try to produce a desired outcome. Mm-hmm. So.
Parliamentarians chiefly use Robert's Rules of Order, correct? Are there other rules that are utilized by parliamentarians besides Robert's Rules of Order?
Well, they're going to think that I planted this question. So I am also on the authorship team for the most competing book for Roberts, which is called the American Institute of Parliamentarians Standard Code of Parliamentary Procedure. And nine of us rewrote a book that was originally written by Alice Sturgis. And it's used by a lot of the medical and dental fields. It's an easier, more modern version. Roberts can be pretty pedantic, and it says the word accept 12,000 times. So, but our book is more easy, a little bit more modern, not quite possibly as married to the original version of Roberts, which was written when everything was done on paper and pencil.
Help our audience understand, you know, we have congregations, they have congregation meetings, voters' assemblies, these type of things. And of course, I think oftentimes they'll pay some kind of lip service to following some type of rule of order like this. What's the value of having a rule of order like this? Why do we follow Robert's rules or this other, you know, a book of procedures?
Well, so if you go back to the original reason that Roberts mm-hmm. wrote the book in the first place, Roberts was at that time, I believe, a major in the Army Corps of Engineers. He attended, of course, a church meeting. Mm-hmm.
Did he really?
The descendants into absolute chaos. The story goes that he then went home and locked himself in a room for 12 days and wrote the book.
Having been to enough church meetings, I am not surprised.
I have, having written this book, and it took us about 2.5 years, that's a new level of angry right there for me. So, but the bottom line here is he essentially codified what was fairly common practice in a lot of meetings and said, and you'll see this in a lot of meetings where they'll say, well, I thought the rule was this, and I thought the rule was that. He eliminated that with the generation of Robert's Rules of War. Very successful book, one of the most successful books of all time. But it helps the assembly stay on track. That there's an absolute set of rules. Now, that doesn't mean there's no gray areas in there. Mm-hmm. If there were no gray areas, you probably wouldn't need me, because most people can read the book and find the answer. But the book is so convoluted, it's hard to find the answer sometimes. So,
what are some of the more interesting meetings? You don't necessarily need to name names, but some of the more interesting meetings or scenarios in which you've served?
I do a lot of political work, and as much as you may think that the Lutheran church here is chaotic with their meeting, don't hold a candle to some of the ones I've done. Without naming names, I've had everything from, please ask Bobby to secure his pistol in his holster to, literally having a heart attack on the floor and having the chairman, for all intents and purposes, pray the man back to life.
Wow.
Amazing story.
Wow.
In our conversation a little bit earlier, like yesterday, you mentioned you were up at 4 a.m. in the morning preparing. What does the day of a parliamentarian at a convention like this, what does the day look like for you?
So, especially in this convention, because there's so much that has to be, we script everything, obviously. So, there's so much that has to be updated from the day before script. Resolutions are passed or failed. They're no longer in the queue. So we have to adjust that script. The consent calendar has to be added, et cetera, et cetera. So that's what that's all looking about. I really, really like to have everything scripted for my chair. These chairs are not using the script because they've now, I like to teach it to my students that it's like a song. And once you learn the song, you can continue to repeat the refrains of the song. So they've gotten that part of it down. So all they need to know now, for the most part, is we're on resolution 901A. Mm-hmm. It's rinse and repeat from there. But in the beginning, you have to script everything. Mm-hmm. So there's that. There's, okay, what potential bylaws could come into play today? It makes for long days. There's a lot of prep that goes into beforehand, probably more so than here. Yes, long days here, because your convention from 8 to 6 is a long day to begin with.
Right.
But hours and hours of prep time before we come to this convention. One of the hardest parts of my job is I'm doing the Lutheran Church this week. Next week, I'm doing another one. I have to be able to take all the bylaws that have accumulated in my little brain from this week, flush those out, and put those new bylaws in the network. That's the hard part. So, yeah. And we have tricks to do that. So,
yeah. How do you absorb all that information? I mean, so we don't even know.
The reality is, you don't.
Yeah.
Right. You can't absorb it all. So, what I do in my prep work is I go through the bylaws and highlight everything that I take Roberts as my base level of knowledge. Mm-hmm. Everything that in the bylaws that deviates from Roberts, which is perfectly fine. Mm-hmm. And I highlight that, and I try to memorize that. So,
gotcha.
You mentioned that early on, this was something that was important for your family, helping your daughter, I think, through through her experience on a team. And then you then pursued credentialing. What did that credentialing process look like?
So the initial credentialing from the National Association of Parliamentarians. The first one is a test. The second one is kind of an in-person performance of your ability to serve as a parliamentarian. That, to me, was not terribly challenging. It is. The pass-fail rate there is pretty significant. Mm-hmm. The second one for the other organization, the American Institute of Parliamentarians, which is now we're testing over 2, 3, or 4 books, different books on parliamentary procedure. The last one there, the CPP exam, I have had several doctors, lawyers, and dentists take that test and say it's the hardest exam they've ever taken. It's a 45 minutes of oral theory followed by 45 minutes of you presiding live in front of people that likely wrote the book you're being tested on.
Oh, man.
Pretty intimidating. That is, if you get your CPP, in my opinion, you can, or you're one of the few people that can do this universally. So,
many, as I mentioned earlier, many of our congregations use Robert's Rules of Order to one degree or another. Mm-hmm. What advice do you have to congregations? We're talking assemblies where, you know, anywhere from, say, 10 to, say, a couple hundred people. What advice do you have to congregations who want to get the benefits of Robert's Rules of Order but don't want to have either a full-time parliamentarian or have can it read the entire book? How should they use it?
So, Roberts is all about fairness. All of the parliamentary authorities are all about fairness, mm-hmm. right? So if you're not going to be able to stop in the middle of your meeting and go look up every rule every time, right? Mm-hmm. It's just not practical, right? Mm-hmm. So if it feels fair, it probably is within the rules. And if it doesn't, it probably isn't, if that makes sense. Mm-hmm. The general stuff is some basic principles from Roberts is it's always harder to undo something than it is to do it the first place. That's a fundamental principle. Hmm. There are several other fundamental principles. You can't trample on the rights of an individual member. Mm-hmm. I'll give you a perfect example. I can't vote to not allow you two to vote. Even by unanimous vote, I can't vote mm-hmm. to not allow you. Mm-hmm. That's your fundamental right as a member. If those make sense. So.
Sure. How can one learn more about Robert's Rules of Order? How can that, for a congregation or for leaders in a congregation, what's your advice for learning Robert's Rules of Order?
So it's very, very tough. I'll retell the very first team I took to state. We had a motion to fix the time to which to adjourn, which creates an adjourn meeting. It doesn't adjourn the meeting. And my team was 10th to go, and they ordered pizza to the holding room because that's how long they were in there. And they passed the motion to fix the time to which to adjourn for right now and then adjourned. And we promptly got 10th place out of 10th place. So there's no place to really go and say I can get I personally offer trainings for, you know, a group if that's what they – obviously not for free, but mm-hmm. But yeah. I offer trainings. The National Association of Parliamentarians and the American Institute of Parliamentarians both offer training, most of which is geared towards people trying to become parliamentarians. Mm-hmm. So it's probably above what the average assembly mm-hmm. needs. Find a local parliamentarian and ask them to come train you. Mm-hmm. That's the best way. Or in my case, I'm almost entirely self-taught. Find a team and go coach them, and you'll learn together, right? So,
Al Gage, current parliamentarian for the National Association of Parliamentarians and past president of the American Institute of Parliamentarians, serving us at the LCMS convention. Thank you so much, Mr. Gage, for being our guest.
All right, thank you.
You've been listening to The Coffee Hour. I'm Eddie Bates.
And I'm Roy Askins.
At Concordia University, Wisconsin, we believe you were created for a reason, to use your God-given gifts to help others, to live a life of self-sacrifice in a me-first world, to live a life that's uncommon, whether you're taking one of 50-plus online programs or learning with us in person on the shores of Lake Michigan. You'll be equipped to make an uncommon impact. Learn more at cuw.edu. Concordia University, Wisconsin. Live uncommon.